This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly.
And this is Lou Caverly.
And we're doing part two of The Real Truth about the King James Version of the Bible. And we've been looking in part one at the book, Which Bible is God's Word, by Gail Riplinger with Noah W. Hutchings. This book can be gotten at the Southwest Radio Church Ministry for very little. I believe it was only about $5. But you can call 1-800-652-1144. And again, that number is 1-800-652-1144. And our only disclaimer is that we do disagree with that ministry. They do believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and we don't believe in that here on this program. We don't support that idea. But other than that, we don't find any problems with their ministry at all. Earlier in part one, we brought out some things that Gail Riplinger, who is really an authority, who spent 8 years studying this whole topic, we brought out some of the major points that were flaws in the new Bible versions. One thing was that the translators were occultists. Westcott and Hort, in 1881, they were spiritualists. And they modified the historical Greek New Testament text to match manuscripts that had the ecumenical spirit that Constantine liked 1,600 years earlier. And these were very different from the Greek manuscripts. The Lord's Prayer was the first key item. In Luke 11:2, in the New Versions, they believe that this was created by Marcion, a heretic, in the 3rd century. And there were other early Christians, like Justin Martyr, who concluded that Marcion, who they called the Beast, was the culprit who created this shortened Lord's Prayer that is now in the NIV. The Book of Luke was changed. And it's rather shocking to us that people like Theosophy's Madame Blavatsky and books like The Dogma and Ritual of High Magic admit that those occultists use Marcion's shortened version to pray to Lucifer. You heard me right. Not to Jesus Christ, not to God Almighty, but to Lucifer. The NIV's Lord's Prayer has 14 words taken out relating to heaven. So if you're praying to Lucifer, you couldn't have the words, deliver us from evil. No, they have to be removed so that you can pray to Lucifer. And the Lord's Prayer, as it occurs in Luke 11:2 in the NIV and the NASB, occurs in no Greek manuscript in the world today. Those old manuscripts, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, and Uncials A, C, and D omit words and phrases from the Lord's Prayer in Luke, but none of them read in total like the new versions do. So really what we have here is a new creation. In the NIV and the NASB and Luke 11:2, there's a Lord's Prayer that has never existed anywhere other than what Madame Blavatsky and occultists called their prayer to Lucifer. So that's shocking enough. That has been changed to that degree. Then, moving on, there are some other very shocking things that are part of all this. And one thing is 1 John 3:5, instead of saying, take away our sins, some of the new versions drop the word our. And they just say, take away sins. You see how we're removing the responsibility for us. We hear this feel-good gospel on the mega church TV channels that just accept yourself. You know, we can have the same-sex marriage. We can have the abortion, the right to choose. We can have all these things because, really, sin is passé. Sin is old-fashioned. We don't want that. We want love and acceptance and feel-goodness. So these new versions omit our and by himself out of where it says, by himself purged our sins. That's the KJV version. By himself purged our sins. But these new versions take out our, so you see, and by himself. So it's just sins. We don't have any reference point to Jesus suffering for us on the cross. No, the NIV drops for us. Well, if you see how this can fit into Brian McLaren and the emerging church people, when they say that Jesus on the cross was a terrorist violence event. This is old-fashioned, you see. This is barbaric to have God putting his son up there on the cross. No, we can't have that. It's sort of like the jihadi Jesus. Can you see how we're going that way? Because we're really removing the sanctity of God Almighty's most sacrificial act to give his only begotten son to die on a cross for our sins. We aren't getting the complete picture. Then there's a little bit more that we find is very, very shocking. And some of that has to do, again, with the changes of the wording about God Almighty. Now, New Age literature has changed a lot of these names of Buddha, Krishna, Lucifer, and all these occult gods to the Christ, the Lord, the One, and the Spirit. Now, it's becoming generic. So you see, when we saw a former pope getting all the religions of the world together, even the voodoo, all of the kinds of religions, the serpent power religions, we're merging so that we will only have a generic God. And we've heard that some people want to call Allah the same thing as our God of the Old and New Testaments, when that isn't really right. He was a moon god. But all of the new Bible versions, with the exception of the KJV, are beginning to evolve to conform to this one religion. So you don't see the terms like Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and the Holy Ghost. You see the Christ, the Lord, the One, with that capital O, and the Spirit. The King James Version in Acts 5:42 says Jesus Christ. The new versions say the Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:22 in the KJV says, Lord Jesus Christ. The new versions just say, Lord. And we brought this up about the Beatles song. It was really Hare Krishna. It wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ in that song. So the contamination of the new versions is rather serious. It also takes away the hope that we have that God will really help all of us. When we're captives of sin, he, you see, will heal the brokenhearted. And we recall that passage in which the disciples could not cast out an evil spirit. And when Jesus came, they asked why they were not able to do it. And he said, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. That entire verse has been removed. So do you see how we will not have the right spiritual armor to withstand the predictable, terrible attacks of Satan on those of us who are trying to work for Jesus Christ and his kingdom? And believe me, that sifting continues to go on. We heard Pastor Martin, Bob Martin, on 4.840 megahertz on a worldwide Christian radio, WWCR, and he is on at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And he talked about, you know, if you have a terrible satanic attack this Thursday, you think, oh, I'm done with it. But next Thursday is coming, and every time you try to stand up for the right, you're going to have violent opposition, the way Jesus Christ himself had when he was in the wilderness and he was hungry and he was tempted by Satan. You know, turn those stones into bread so you can eat, because he was human as well as God. And that's another thing that this controversy includes, that the New Age would like to have us think that God never sent his son here in human flesh. No, he was just sort of a mirage, you know, just sort of for a time, maybe he looked like he was in a body, but he really wasn't man. But he was man, according to the Bible. Now, we're going to pick up this story again, and we probably won't be able to finish everything that we need to do today. Probably next Thursday evening, that would be coming up, that you will hear part three. Now, we're going to just pick up the identity factor. And Lou Caverly, we'll start with you with the question and answer.
The identity factor is very important because the New Agers say that the Christ is coming or the Christ is here. Certainly, they are not talking about Jesus Christ. Our next question comes from a pastor who is a faithful listener to the Southwest Radio Church. While he does not object to your defense of the King James Version, he is concerned that you may damage or harm the faith of those who have accepted the newer versions as the inspired Word of God. This pastor asks, can the new King James Version be trusted? What is wrong with it? Why do you call it a counterfeit?
Answer. I think many of the men on the New King James Committee were godly men who had the best intentions in mind. As a matter of fact, I have received positive responses to my book from two different men on the New King James Committee. One of them is now buying my books by the case, and we point out this is Dr. Gail Ripplinger who is speaking, and you will want to perhaps go to her address to get her more significant, larger book on the matter. We'll give that a little later in the program. So anyway, she says that one of these men on the New King James Committee is passing out her books wherever he goes. The other one has given me an endorsement for the book. Many of these men are sweet, godly men who had little control over how it turned out and are justifiably disappointed. We have to remember that in the Bible, deception always takes the form of a counterfeit or imitation of the real thing. Galatians 1:6-7 says there is another gospel, which is not another, but would pervert the gospel of Christ. So they change it just a little bit. Remember in Isaiah 14:14, Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. He did not say he would be like Charles Manson. He said he would be like the Most High. He wants to be as much like God as he can. 2 Timothy 3:8 says, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. These magicians copied Moses exactly. Satan is a counterfeiter. He tries to copy Jesus Christ and the Father as closely as he can. Jesus is the light of the world. How does Satan appear? He appears as an angel of light. When Jacob tried to disguise himself as his brother, his words betrayed him. I'm afraid the words of the New King James betray it as a counterfeit. It has about 100 changes per page. This amounts to about 60,000 changes in the New King James Version. Compare that to the 400 changes in orthography, spelling, and punctuation, which took place in the 1700s to the original King James Version. I am so reminded of the verse in Jeremiah 6:16, which says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The churches today are without rest, and I think they need to take the old paths. Let me give you some examples of some of the verses that have been changed in the New King James. The deity of Christ has disappeared in a number of places in the New King James. The devil said to Jesus Christ, if you are the Son of God, Matthew 4:3-6. He was questioning whether he was the Son. The mockers said to Jesus on the cross, if you are the Son of God, come down. Matthew 27:40. They were questioning whether or not he is the Son of God. His sonship is an essential doctrine. In fact, 1 John 2:22-23 says, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. The KJV verses in Acts 3:13-26 say Jesus Christ is the Son of God is changed in the New King James to say he is a mere servant. Isn't that shocking, Lou?
Yes, it's a far, far cry from being the Son of God to being a mere servant. It totally degrades the identity of Jesus Christ and minimizes it to the point where there's nothing there.
Continuing, something very similar to this happens again in Acts 4:27-30. The King James says that Jesus Christ was God's child. The New King James Version changes that to servant. So you see, we've compounded the error. Now, the problem with this rendering is that the New King James and the new translations in John 4:51 take the same Greek word and translate it as nobleman's son. So they know that the word can be translated as son, yet they take the sonship away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would call that selective judgment, wouldn't you, Lou? Not consistent.
Well, that's right, and it betrays a definite bias that they are purposely changing the text to, as I said, degrade the identity of Jesus Christ. It's not just some accident. It's not a matter of saying this was improperly translated. It's a matter of we will translate it the way we feel like it.
It's just like when we're talking about being propagandized by the New World Order in the secular world on TV, or things that we're seeing and things in the mainstream news. But this is in the ecclesiastical area. This is the spiritual war. So we're again being propagandized. Well, Gail Ripplinger says, we see his deity being watered down in the NKJV again in Matthew 20:20, where instead of saying worship, it just says kneel. Matthew 26, verse 64, talks about the right hand of power. The New King James capitalizes power and says that Jesus is at the right hand of the power, implying that the power is something other than Jesus Christ. And I'd have to interject that a lot of the topics in the New Age refer to God as a force. You see, it's something impersonal, and it's supposed to be this spirit that we each have, the little divine in all of us, so that when we die, we lose our individuality and we just merge back into this big wheel, like sparks in a big wheel of fire. So you see, there's no worth or dignity to us as individuals created in the image of God. So I think here, this is speaking to that. They're, again, trying to remove the real personality of God. They're just putting Jesus there at the right hand of the power, as if we had a great big R2-D2, big robot or something there that's making squawking noises once in a while. That's the power. God is far more than that. He has an everlasting mercy and a love and a patience, or he would have brought judgment down completely on us on 9/11. But he's giving us some time, and he may be making his final call. So we ask you, listeners, to tell others about this program, and we ask you to pray for the provision and the protection of our program, and that God's will be done with it, because there is a lot of heresy everywhere, and we're trying to bring you the truth that will strengthen you in the years ahead. None of us knows how quickly the totalitarian political regime may enclose us, how soon the internet will go down in a way that we will have no more freedom than the people in China. None of us know that. And I would like to be at the mercy of looking to the power for help ahead. Would you, Lou?
No, as you said, that sounds like some kind of big power plant, some kind of impersonal force, some kind of machine, not a personal loving God. Far from it.
Another change made in the New King James is in Revelation 1:6. The King James says God and his Father. The New King James says his God and Father. Genesis 22:8 is one of the saddest renderings in the New King James. It is a prophetic comment. Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb. The New King James says God will provide for himself the lamb. We know this was prophetic because a ram was provided for Abraham, not a lamb. God himself is going to be a lamb. So this is really interesting. Lou, can you explain that a little bit more? Do we understand that? God will. Let's look at that one more time. God will provide himself a lamb. And then the New King James changes it to God will provide for himself the lamb. In a way, it looks more selfish, too, doesn't it, that he's not going to provide the lamb for all of us?
Yes, that will take a little study to get the exact meaning there. But I think, once again, it takes away the idea that Jesus Christ is the Lamb, and just that God is going to provide some kind of a lamb, some kind of a sacrifice. But I believe if we studied that more, we would see that it's much more impersonal in the New King James.
We know this was prophetic, says Gail Ripplinger, because a ram was provided for Abraham, not a lamb. God himself is going to be a lamb. There are a lot of New Age renderings in the New King James. They consistently substitute the term the Christ for Christ. Liberty University's Dean Norman Geisler says, we should be particularly wary when someone refers to Jesus Christ as the Christ. The worst component of the New King James is its use of the term the One, capital O-N-E, for the masculine pronoun he. This word gives credence to the monism, pantheism, and the neuter God that is so prevalent in the New Age movement. February edition of Pat Robertson's Christian American magazine quotes one of the New Version editors. She boasts of her monism and refers to God herself as the neuter one, and that's capital O-N-E, capital O-N-E. She believes that God is a female God and a neuter kind of a God. So when we see the one in the New King James instead of he, the masculine, we are moving away from the historic God of Christianity to this monistic neuter God. We also see this monism in the New King James in John 4:24. The King James says, God is a spirit. The New King James says, God is spirit. Now, we know that there are plenty of spirits that are not God. The NKJV makes similar changes in Revelations 15:3. And Lou, again, we would see that God as an individual being is changed there, as if God is just part of some force. Listen carefully. You know, the King James says God is a spirit. You see, that's a specific one. The New King James says God is spirit. It's more or less like he's just made of silver or gold or metal. He's just part of the metal. He's not anything that's fashioned with a face and with a personality and with power. No, it really does demean him again. The most frightening thing that I found in the NKJV was its rendition of Luke 7, verses 19 to 20. The King James says, he that should come. The New King James has, hold on just a second there, has dropped he, capitalized coming, and capitalized one, and says, the coming one. They do not know what this is, and I suspect they were deceived when the devil got them to put this in there. The New Age and Luciferian matriarch Alice Bailey, and again, she was in Theosophy, has a chapter in her book entitled The Doctrine of the Coming One. Who is her coming one? Let me read what she says. Humanity in all lands today awaits the coming one. Let death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The Reappearance of the Christ, pages 64, 188. And again, we see all around us here, I'm interjecting, the culture of death as the New World Order puts their population reduction plan into effect. And we see these strange anomalies in the treatment of the Ebola people who were victims, and how they were just almost encouraged to go out and spread it. We see a lot of evil trying to take hold, and this culture of death is a big part of the New Age movement. And, you know, the connections with Freemasonry are very great, too, between Theosophy, Madame Blavatsky, and then her successor, Alice Bailey. So think about this. Let death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. Isn't that a lot different from the purpose of Jesus Christ, Lou? What did he come to give us?
Yes, he said he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly, not death. That sounds like, you know, just the reverse, just the opposite. What Satan came into the world to do, to try and create havoc and death.
Gail Ripplinger says, now Christians know who this coming one is. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, it is the Antichrist, him whose coming is after the working of Satan. By using the title, coming one, that is so pervasive in New Age literature, the New King James is giving us that common vocabulary, once again, that we really do not want to see in our Judeo-Christian Bible. Another example of the retrograde nature of the New King James is its Jehovah's Witness readings. They have taken the historic title of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, John 14:16, and changed it to the Helper. The Jehovah's Witness Bible has always called the Holy Spirit the Helper, there and elsewhere, because they do not believe the Holy Spirit is a person. They believe the Holy Spirit is a wind or a force or something like that, something that just sort of helps God. So now the New King James has the identical rendering the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, has had for years and years and years. The New King James omits the word hell numerous times, 10 times, I believe, and substituted it with the word Hades, which has numerous New Age interpretations. They have also taken away the word hell in the Old Testament and replaced it with the word Sheol about 13 times. So again, we have a translation that needs to be translated using words that have no exact meaning and can be given any sort of definition or meaning that anyone would like. The New King James Version is carving a platform to support the idol worship that will fill the globe during the tribulation when they, quote, worship the image of the beast. Revelation 13:15. Paul's harsh rebuke to the idol worshippers in Acts 17:22, quote, ye are too superstitious, becomes a hearty compliment in the New King James Version, quote, you are very religious. Wow, black is white and evil is good. Look at that one, listeners. That wasn't very subtle. Ripplinger goes on to say, the Greek word that is translated superstition contains the root word for devil. The Greek word for religious is nowhere in the verse. The sharp distinction between the saved and the unsaved fades from the page of the NKJV as, quote, the heathen, Psalm 79:1, a word with religious connotations, is transmuted into the politically correct nations. Sorcerers no longer, quote, bewitch, but merely astonish, Acts 8:9. Ask yourself, which terms fit in with the one world religion's theme? Toleration for religious diversity? Two superstitious heathens who have been bewitched, that's the KJV, or very religious nations who are astonished? My, haven't we whitewashed that one, Lou?
Boy, that is a change. Yeah, you can see that the whole purpose is to make the pagans sound just fine. Nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with their religion. It's all good.
It's worse than witchcraft movies taking over Hallmark, the TV channel that used to have nice little sitcoms and some Christianity in some of them. It's not completely all gone yet, but that's nothing compared to the church world. When this happens in the church world, we are supposed to be the bride, the believers that God is preparing to go through the tribulation if we are there at that time. Well, Ripplinger says, we have time to mention only one more pro-New Age rendering in the New King James Version. The Bible talks about, quote, the end of the world. The New King James Version changes that to the end of the age in Matthew 24:3 and in most of the New Testament. This is what New Agers have taught all along. They believe in a series of ages. One age follows another age. You merely change the page in your calendar. They do not believe that the world will end in a cataclysmic explosion. 2 Peter 3:10-12. New Agers believe time is cyclical and think we are approaching the end of the age and the dawning of a new age. Expanded Greek lexicons like the 10-volume Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 10, pages 203 to 204, reveal that the KJV's use of the term world for the Greek aeon, when the context refers to space and age, when it refers to time, is correct within the historic Judeo-Christian tradition. The exclusive use of the word aeon, that's A-I-O-N, as age, is Platonic in origin and implication. New versions admit that the word world is a valid rendering of aeon, using it in Romans 12:2, 2 Timothy 4:10, and other places where the verse cannot be twisted to adapt to this Platonic notion. We've heard a lot about Plato before. Remember, he wanted to have the elite, and they were a warrior class, and they would be at the top of the heap, and then there would be all the poor plebeians, the ones. Just the way we see the Cloward and Piven thing at work, trying to dismantle the middle class here in America, trying to make that great divide where the NWO elite will be in charge and almost everybody else will be in third world status. So you can see how we can take some of these things that we look at politically and we can see that the real origin of all of this evil is not political, it is spiritual. And the idea of Plato's philosophy, you see, was not Christian. It did not coexist with Christianity. And, you know, when I went to college, I'm afraid I was very much brainwashed to love literature and to love philosophy and to consider a lot of these ideas as being so crucial. But years later, when I became a stronger Christian, I began to realize that many of those so-called great playwrights, like Edward Albee, his plays, they were filled with hopelessness, despair, satanic lures for everybody. There was no hope. There was no real beauty. There's very little literature that I can find now that I think is really of God. So much of it is not good. The same with music. That wonderful series that Pastor Joe Schimmel did, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We often think about that because that was a great experience Lou and I had watching that. It's far more than documenting the rock and roll celebrities. It really went through all the decades to see how Satanism progressed in our country and in our world, as seen in many of these celebrity figures selling their souls, some of them literally, to Satan. So we're really watching this transformation to a time in which people will be less resistant, not only politically, but spiritually. And a lot of those libertarians who think they're going to save America, we can see that they don't have a good, sound, biblical basis of belief. They're too much in the New Age. They're too tolerant of sin, including same-sex marriage, and some of them perhaps with abortion. So now, let's get right back. We're talking now how this Platonic notion came right into this and helped to contaminate the new versions. The New King James publishers boast that it continues a great tradition of the KJV. Its New Age readings are not its only divergence from the traditional text. The 1881 New Testament text of Scrivener and that of the New King James do not represent the text followed by the King James translators in 1611. Estimated variance is between 56 and 287 differences. Harvard alumni Dr. Jack Lewis, author of the English Bible from KJV to NIV, also notes the New King James's divergence from the KJV's Old Testament tradition. Citing the NKJV's use of current Old Testament text criticism and the 1966/1977 edition of the Stuttgart German Bible, page 332. The historic Ben Chaim Rabbinic Bible used by the KJV was altered in 1937 by liberal German theologian Rudolf Kittel, using Leningrad Manuscript B 19A, Ben Asher text. His family's conviction for their involvement in the death of millions of Jews during Hitler's Holocaust makes his alterations to the Old Testament highly suspect. The NKJV's use of recent discoveries like the Septuagint, Vulgate, and Dead Sea Cave manuscripts contradicts the Bible's doctrine of preservation, Psalm 12, verses 5 and 6, to a thousand generations. Psalm 105:8. Did God skip the generations from the 4th century to the 19th century? The secular notion of continual progress and evolutionary development cannot be applied to the scriptures. Many people have asked about the subtle 666 logo on the cover of the New King James. The publisher, Thomas Nelson, says that this is an ancient graphic device that represents the Godhead. Since the Bible is our final authority for all matters of faith and practice, we must look at Acts 17:29 to see if we are allowed to have graphic devices representing the Godhead. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like anything graven by art and man's device. And Ripplinger says that emphasis on not and art are hers. There are no verses in the Bible that allow or encourage pictorial representations, whether naturalistic, stylized, or abstract. Images are very pagan. The Bible begins with a warning against imagery in the second commandment. That's Exodus 24. That is chapter 20, verse 4. And ends with people worshiping the image of the beast, Revelation 19:20. The warning was not heeded. God communicates through words. Man has always tended to move away from this. This is why we have moved from a word-based culture to an image-based culture. Children do not read the Bible anymore. They watch Bible videos or look at Bible picture books and get their image of Jesus Christ, not from words, but from pictures or images which pretend to portray Jesus Christ. And we can think about that TV movie that was, you know, that production that was recently on TV, The Bible, and a lot of it Lou and I thought was very well done, but when we saw the part of Jesus going down the street and falling under the weight of the cross and seeing Mary, his mother, come out and help lift the cross, we knew we were looking at heresy. This was not good. So whatever was good in that movie was somewhat contaminated. And this is what's happening now when we're moving just to be a visual civilization. In the secular world, we can see that children's test scores are all falling. They're not doing as well as when they were reading real books. And, you know, I had this woman in a bookstore kind of look at me one day when I said, did it ever occur to you how the name Kindle might have come, that it might mean book burning? Oh, my goodness! She said, I never thought about that. And I thought, well, you'd better be thinking about a lot of things that you've never thought about. But, you know, here we are. Those of us who understand what's going on in the New World Order, at times it's as if we're living like a man without a country. We're walking among people who are half asleep, who don't understand anything. They look up at the sky, they think these are normal clouds. And we now can realize that when we watched Robert Duvall in the movie Tender Mercies, and I believe it goes back to 1983, and he got an Academy Award for that role, there are definite chemtrails in that movie. If you ever get to see it, you look at it. So how long has this evil been going on? But we see this dumbing down when people aren't going to be reading the books, the old history books and the Bible. They're not going to know much. And even what is good in literature and history, the students now are not going to get it, because with Common Core, they're going to be tested online with huge costs and inefficiencies, and it'll widen the gap between the poor black children and the white children, because of technology's advantages that the white children have. All of that's going on, and it's very disorganized. Lou is tutoring someone, and there is no English textbook. What is it like? What does he bring to you?
So far, absolutely nothing, except a few mentions by the teacher of a website you can go to. But when you go to the website, it's very confusing, and I have to say, I live in the state of Maryland. I taught there for many years in public and private schools. And the website that they have is, to me, as an educated man, totally confusing. It just is very hard to follow compared to many, many other websites I've gone to. And when you do get there, there's nothing you can print out to take home and analyze. There's one sample. Now, I know the test is new that they're going to give after many, many years of having one test. They dump that, and from what I can see, they've gone to an inferior test. But I notice that this is also being given in several other states. So So I don't know if it's a case of keeping up with the Joneses or getting federal approval or just what it is, but it's I don't think it's good at all.
Well, it is part of Common Core, because you don't have time to read your retired teacher's magazine, and I do. And teachers are unhappy. They don't understand the full ramifications of this. But, again, we're saying that this idea of becoming illiterate in our culture has intellectual results. Fewer children will make it to college. The middle class, again, will be weakened more because they won't have that education to lift them to well-paying jobs. They aren't going to be able to afford it. The student debt is growing deeper and deeper and deeper. They're saddled with debt. My parents paid for my college education, and they were not wealthy people, but they were middle class. They were able to do that. So I never had that burden. My brother never had that burden. And I don't think you had that burden of student loans, did you?
No, I have to say my parents helped me out. I did go to a state college. Then I got a scholarship to graduate school. But they chipped in whenever they needed to. And when I left college, I was totally debt-free.
We're not living in that time. And the main reason is we have turned away from Jesus Christ, starting really in 1973 with the legalization of abortion. Now, as we see these changes here, right in the spiritual realm that Gail Ripplinger is talking about, that we're now looking at images of Jesus Christ. We're not really doing the higher thinking to read. She says, Thomas Nelson is correct in noting that the New King James Version logo is an ancient design. Pattern designed by Archibald Christie says of the trifoil, and that's spelled T-R-I-F-O-I-L. They are of Oriental origin. Isn't that interesting? She says the shape refers to the pagan trinity of the Father, the Mother, and the Son, popular in ancient Egypt and Greece, or Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma, the trinity of the Hindus. Therefore, this is not a Christian device, even though the Church of Rome adopted it for use in cathedrals. Thomas A. Nelson, a Roman Catholic himself, signed letters, Sincerely Yours in Christ and Our Lady. Wrong Trinity. This same 666 symbol design, song, and that's F-A-N-S, meaning without, barbed outer edges, appears on the cover of the most popular New Age book, The Aquarian Conspiracy. Now, we shouldn't have the New King James Version of the Bible having the same symbol on its cover as on this book, The Aquarian Conspiracy. Ripplinger goes on, esoterics believe the number 666 is a powerful occult number and should be used whether subtly woven into logos or displayed openly. I do not think either the pagan trinity or the number 666 belong in the cover of a Bible. Question, all the Bible versions or translations that Mrs. Ripplinger criticized are in the Moody Monthly. Does this mean that the Moody organization endorses these modern versions?
In the mid-1960s, Moody hosted the kickoff conference for the NIV. However, I do not think there is a consensus there regarding new Bible versions. For instance, one of the past vice presidents of Moody Bible Institute, Dr. Alfred Martin, said the theories and Greek texts behind the new versions, quote, collapse when subject to close scrutiny, unquote. So, he is not a fan of the NIV or NASB. One of the former pastors of Moody Memorial Church, Dr. S. Franklin Logsdon, mentioned earlier as a member of the Amplified Version Committee, said, quote, I must, under God, renounce every attachment to the New American Standard Bible. The deletions are absolutely frightening. Some of the finest people in the world believe in that Greek text. The finest leaders that we have today. You'd be surprised. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. They haven't gone into it, just as I hadn't gone into it. They're just taking it for granted. At any rate, we went out and started on a feasibility report, and I encouraged him, that is Dewey Lockman, to go ahead with it. I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord because I encouraged him to go ahead with it. We laid the groundwork. I wrote the format. I helped interview some of the translators. I've sat with the translators. I wrote the preface. When you see the preface to the New American Standard, those are my words. I'm going to talk to him, referring to Dr. George Sweeting, president of Moody Bible Institute, about these things. Friends, you can say the authorized version is absolutely correct. How correct? 100% correct, unquote. So, I would guess that, just like many churches today, there is not necessarily a consensus at Moody about the new Bible versions. The wheat and the chaff grow together. The carnal and the spiritual Christian hoe together. Question. The work of Westcott and Hort, at first and almost without exception, was accepted by the majority of so-called biblical authorities. Later, as they learned more and more about the work of Westcott and Hort, they changed their minds. I think that is also true of some of the modern versions. They were accepted too quickly, without study. What do you think of the Geneva Bible? And again, that's the question from Dr. Noah Hutchings, and being answered by Dr. Gail Ripplinger. Answer. The Geneva Bible was one in a line preceded by the Great Bible and followed by the Bishop's Bible, marking the ascent to the King James Version. After the King James was finalized, revision was of a retrograde nature. English revision work started going downhill. It was going uphill with the Geneva, and then it started downhill after the KJV. The Geneva, like those English Bibles preceding it and immediately following it, except the Jesuit Douay Rheims Bible, follows the traditional text underlying the King James Version. Historically, the Church has always used the traditional Greek text that underlies the KJV, not the Jesuit text now underlying the NIV and NASB. The Geneva Bible was written in about 1560 and was used by those people who were exiles from the persecution of Bloody Mary, Queen of England. The Geneva New Testament was written by a gentleman named William Whittingham. It had a number of good points. Each verse was separate. This would encourage memorizing and was new for English Bibles. It had many anti-Catholic footnotes. Some of the areas in which it needed improvement include Psalms 12:7, where it followed the Septuagint and its denial of the preservation of Scripture. In several places, the Geneva Bible uses the term master instead of Lord. In Hebrews 4:11, it has the term disobedience. It really should be unbelief. The KJV corrected all of these errors. There are also some funny words in the Geneva Bible. It was called the Breeches Bible, because in Genesis 3 it said that Adam and Eve wore breeches. The, quote, abusers of themselves, 1 Corinthians 6:9, were called buggerers. The King James was an improvement of the Geneva Bible, but the Geneva was definitely within the line of the traditional Bible text.
Question. Do you know which version of the Bible the Waldenses used?
The Waldenses were those Christians who lived in the Vaudois Valley in northern Italy. Beza dates the Waldensian church from AD 120 and their old Itala Bible from AD 157. It was a translation of the true text into the rather rude Low Latin of the second century. Historians like Alex, Lager, Gilly, Comber, and Nolan document this church's continual use of the pure text of the Bible. They were persecuted severely between the 4th and 13th centuries by the Church of Rome. The Bible of the Waldenses was used to carry the true text throughout Europe. 1. Olaf Tan, a pastor of the Waldensian Valley, translated a Waldensian Bible into French. 2. This French Olaf Tan was a relative of Calvin, in turn became the basis of the Geneva Bible in English. Luther used the German Tefel Bible, which represented a translation of the Waldensian Bible into German, to make Luther's German Bible. Diodati's Italian Bible was one in a line of Waldensian-type texts. All of these pure Waldensian-based texts, as well as several other Waldensian manuscripts like Dublin Manuscript A4, were among the rich variety of pure documents used by the KJV translators.
Question. Give me your opinion about the Greek dictionary authored by Spiros Zodhiades. Mail-order THDs do not disqualify a person from teaching the Bible. What does disqualify someone is exegesis that has been too influenced by, and this is again Dr. Gail Ripplinger, use of a corrupt Greek text, the application of faulty principles of textual criticism, dependence on modern Greek and not Koine Greek. I think Dr. Zodhiades' books are guilty of these three problems. Mutual friends speak highly of Dr. Zodhiades' tender heart, so he may well be like Paul, who said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. 1 Timothy 1:13. Christians should not put men on pedestals. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Moving a magnifying glass toward mankind, myself included, brings into view mountains of sin and mounds of filthy rags, our righteousness. Magnify the Lord, said the psalmist. As a former Roman Catholic, I worship dead saints. Born-again Christians tend to worship live saints. 1 Kings 13 reveals the death of a man of God at the jaws of a lion because he followed the advice of an old prophet, contrary to the word of God. The old prophets, quote, hunt the prey for the lion, yet today, Job 38:39. The idea of correcting the Bible using a Greek dictionary or a Greek reference work denies the doctrine of the pure preservation of scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know the originals were inspired. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 says, the works of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God promised to preserve his word in a pure form. The originals were pure and inspired. He promised to preserve it, and so it is still pure, and it is still inspired, according to Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 in the KJV. We know the original paper is long gone. In Jeremiah 51, verse 63, God commanded Jeremiah to throw his originals in the river. So we know that God is not concerned with the originals. The promise of pure and perfect preservation extends to every word, not to the paper upon which they were written. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That is a very, very powerful God. But if God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35, what great care and power he must extend to those words. Correcting the, quote, word of God with the words of men, Greek dictionaries, brings dishonor to our Heavenly Father and his authority. Small wonder God's children do not, quote, tremble at his word. His bride continually corrects him in their presence with, quote, a better reading would be, or, quote, the word should have been translated. The Berean call was to, quote, search the scriptures daily, not correct them. I want to repeat that. The Berean call was to search the scriptures daily, not correct them. When the Bible refers to scriptures, as it does here in Acts 17, verse 11, the reference is to copies, not original manuscripts. Consider 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Neither he nor the Ethiopian eunuch who also read the scriptures had the 800-year-old originals of the book of Isaiah. If, quote, the word is a Greek text only, then only the Greek-speaking churches could preach the word. And that's a quote from 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. And only those fluent in Greek could be, quote, born again by the word. Acts 2:6 says, quote, every man heard them speak in his own language. I do not think that God is in the business of deceiving housewives who do not have access to a library of Greek reference books. 1 Corinthians 6:4 reminds us to, quote, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church, end of quote. We can have confidence that every word in the King James Bible is the pure word of God. Lou, you recall that our brother Al Coppett mentioned the quote, I think it is in Proverbs, not to destroy the old landmarks. Remember that?
Yes, exactly, and that fits so well here. In other words, don't change what is good. Don't try to modify it some way, because in the end you may just destroy the good things that God has given you.
And when we looked at that verse, did that not also apply to not cheating orphans who were left? There was something like that, wasn't there? Like encroaching on somebody's land and, you see, leaving the people who are often defenseless, more defenseless. And that's what these new versions are doing, and it isn't by chance. Do you not think that Lucifer is the night supervisor?
I most certainly do. It's a combination of that and the desire to get money, because the King James Version, of course, is not copyrighted. That's why you can go to a dollar store and buy a good copy, accurate, and that has everything you want in it for a very nominal sum. But it's right. The whole idea of cheating the widows, the fatherless, and so forth is strongly condemned in the Bible. And we can see, as these numerous instances explain, this is trying to bring the Bible in line with New Age books, with the Quran, with the Hindu texts, with all kinds of religious affiliations throughout the world, just to make one big happy family of it all.
And if you would like to get in touch with Dr. Gail Ripplinger and ask her about her other publications, you can write to A, capital A, period, capital V, period, Publications, capital PUBLICATIONS, that's AV Publications, Post Office Box 280, Ararat, and that town is spelled capital ARARAT, Virginia, and the zip code is 24053. And again, that is Dr. Gail Ripplinger at AV Publications, P.O. Box 280, Ararat, capital A-R-A-R-A-T, Virginia, zip code 24053. And if you want this specifically good little book, very, very good little book, as you can tell, you can also get it by calling the Southwest Radio Church Ministry, 1-800-652-1144. And again, it's 1-800-652-1144. Lou and I don't get anything back from any of these people. We're just struggling along to finance this program, and we once bought about 8 of these books, and we gave them out. Sadly, last year at Christmas, Lou had someone give it back to him. He says, well, you know, a lot of the people in my church don't agree with this. I believe it's true, and we think he probably even lacked the courage to show it to them. Which are you going to be, the Laodicean church member? Or are you going to stand for the truth? Are you going to pray to be one of those people with the white robes, even if we would be part of that great tribulation in which we would lose our lives? We may only be at the cusp of the beginning of that. So it's very important that you tell others who you love, your family, your friends, your Christian brothers and sisters, about this program, and that you will pray for Lou and me. And we want to again thank that wonderful Dr. San Monteith. He lives on in our memory, and one day in heaven we will reunite with all his Radio Liberty supporters. Thank you for listening. Good night.